hear your word being spoken. We ask, Almighty God, that you will now open up our ears that we may be able to hear. Open up our eyes that we may be able to see. Open up our minds that we may be able to comprehend. Hallelujah. All that you desire for us to receive today. We pray, O God, that your word is anointed. But, Father, we ask that all of us would be anointed as we receive your word. By and through the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the living God. To your name be all praise and glory and honor. Amen. Amen. Shemesh 26. Amen. And that is the book of Genesis. And we're in chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. As you're finding your place there. And I would just encourage everyone here, if you're not in the habit of carrying a Bible when you come into the house of God, that needs to change. We should not be ashamed of his word, and especially when we come into his house. That is not a rebuke. But we are all what? We are his Talmudim. We are his disciples. And we're to be the people of the book. Amen? Amen? And we should be spending time in the word before we assemble with one another. That then we'll have something to share, an encouraging word to a brother and sister. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. A theophany, that's a Greek word. Is a visible appearance of God Adonai Yeshua before he was later incarnate. What does incarnate mean? Incarnation is to become human flesh. Messianic doctrine that Yeshua, God, who actually took on human nature to reveal the nature of our heavenly Abba, our Father. That's the introduction. That's what this whole series is on. Yeshua revealing himself to people on this earth prior to his being born of the Virgin Mary. We hear about the angel of the Lord in the Tanakh. And we, as we study this closely, we see that the angel of the Lord is revealed as what? He's revealed as the Lord. Who did Yaakov wrestle with? The angel of the Lord. And he touched him. He dislocated his hip socket. But then afterwards, as he was limping, he declared this, that I have seen the Lord. I have seen Adonai. And he worshipped him. Now let's begin in Bereshit chapter 13 and verse 1. And Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and everything he had, and Lot with him, into Negev. Abram became wealthy and was with much cattle and silver and gold. As he went on his travels from the Negev, he came to Bethel, Bethlehem, to a place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, where he had first built the altar. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord, Adonai. He worshipped. He was declaring this, this is my God. Not the God of my pagan fathers, but this is my God. I have seen him. I have heard his voice. I'm walking in his provision, his plans for my life. He sent me to this promised land that he's given to me. This is my God. And this is who I worship. Let's continue. Lot was traveling with Avram and also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support their living together because their provisions were too great for them to remain together. Moreover, quarreling arose among Avram's and Lot's herdsmen. The Canaanite and Prizi were living in the land. Avram said to Lot, Please, let's not have quarreling between me and you, or between my herdsmen and yours, since we're kinsmen. Isn't the whole land there in front of you? Please separate yourself from me. If you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. Lot looked up and saw the whole plain of the Yarden was well watered everywhere before Adonai destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah in some of your translations. Like the garden of Adonai, that is like the Garden of Eden. Paradise, it appeared. Like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. So Lot chose all the plain of the Yarden for himself. He was generous, wasn't he? And Lot traveled eastward, and thus they separated themselves from each other. There was a parting of ways. Lot was going after something else. But Avraham wanted to remain in the presence of the Lord. Let's continue. Avram lived in the land of Canaan, and Lot lived in the cities of the plain, setting up his tent near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were evil and committing great sins against Adonai. Adonai said to Avraham, after Lot had moved away from him, "Look all around you, from where you are to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. And all the land you see, I will give to you and to your descendants." Hebrew, Erzer Acha. "And to your seed forever." How long? Forever. Forever means for all eternity and beyond. For our God is the one who established time. And when he says forever and eternity, it has no end. It goes on forever and ever and ever. And I can stand here till the Lord returns and sets up his millennial kingdom, saying forever to you, and still I haven't even come close. Let's continue. "And I will make your descendants as numerous as the specks of dust on the earth, so that if a person can count the specks of dirt on the earth, then your descendants will be counted. Get up and walk through the length and the breadth of the land, because I will give it to you." Avraham moved his tent and came to live by the oaks of Mamre, which are Hebron. Some of your translations say Hebron. There he built an altar to Adonai. Here we see a separation, a parting of ways. Because what did Avraham done? He'd taken his nephew Lot and took him with him from Ur the Chaldees and brought him to Haran. And from there, they went to the promised land. And from there, Avraham, of his own choice, after the famine entered the land, he went down to Egypt. And the Lord dealt with him concerning his lies. You notice in that portion there, the prior chapter, if you were here last Shabbat, that the Lord protected, Adonai protected Avraham and the integrity of his marriage to his wife, Sarai, Sarah. And he did not allow Pharaoh to put Avraham to death. Because what king of any land, if someone came there and lied to him, would not put that man to death? But what did the Lord do? He allowed a plague to come on Pharaoh's house, that might be the deliverance. Even though Avraham wasn't walking in unity and trusting in the provision of Adonai, the Lord gave him grace. Just as you and I, as we have not been walking in our total lives underneath the provision and the providence and the leading of the Lord, he gives us grace, but he deals with our sin. He calls us back into relationship with us. And so the Lord protected our spiritual father, Abraham, from his own carnal nature, from destroying his life. Just because of one mistake, one slip up. But the Lord allowed him to come back, and he dealt with his sin. He made it public before all the people in Egypt. But he dealt with his sin. And then Abraham was able to repent and go back to the promised land and live in the provision. See, he learned from this lesson. But today we're going to be seeing where Lot, he knew of the presence of Adonai, Yeshua. He heard of the voice speaking to his uncle Abraham, who had become his father. Many times we forget this. We live in the Western world. We do not understand the patriotic leading of an uncle or a grandfather. Some of you can relate to this, that part of your life you may have been raised by an uncle or an aunt or grandparents, that they've had a great impact in your life. And those of you who are blessed to have a grandparent, an uncle or an aunt, that have been praying and interceding for you, they've been laying the foundation, the framework for you to come to know the Lord as they did. And you know, sometimes we judge of what tradition and what religions that we used to come from. But everyone, we got to look through this aspect. What we're reading here is individuals. Abraham never read the book of Genesis. He never read the book of Revelation. And we're so hard on him, are we not? He did not have the revelation of who Adonai Yeshua is. But what of you and I? We've had the full revelation. And that revelation is expounded every time when we spend time in the Word and spend time in His presence. He reveals Himself greater and greater to us in all these aspects. So you may be saying, why are you preaching out of the Tanakh? That's an old ancient story. Well, what you're seeing here is the presence of the living God. And we're focusing on whom? Our father in faith, who is Abraham. And how he had to deal with his carnal nature and to allow his spirit man. And he didn't even know the existence that there were two portions in his life. He had no idea. And so what he was, it was face to face. The appearance of Adonai Yeshua was leading him. And he was revealing increment by increment. The light became brighter and brighter in the heart and mind of our father of faith, Abraham. So let us continue. Now let us turn quickly. You don't need to. I'll just say these statements right here. In Proverbs 13:2, it states, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of Adonai brings wealth. He adds no trouble to it. The blessings. It's not the gold and silver. It's not the cattle. It's not owning a mansion and not driving a Beamer. Whatever you want to say is the thing that you desire most in the world. But it's the blessings. It's the presence and provision of Adonai meeting all your needs. Not your wants. My carnal nature desires things that I don't need. And that's part of the process here. Lot, he was focused on outdoing his uncle. Because he saw the riches of the land. But with the riches of the land came what? Temptations and Sodom. If you notice, Avram, he put his tent in between Bethel, the house of God, and Ai, ruin. And he built an altar there to remind him of his relationship of having and practicing the presence of Adonai wherever he goes. And the first thing after he set up his tent and allowed all his herdsmen and everyone to get together, he went and he built an altar publicly before everyone that was under his charge, including Lot. But we don't see Lot going to outskirts of Sodom and building an altar to Adonai, Yeshua, do we? No. So let us continue here. Beit El, Beth, it is the house. El, that is God. Ai, it is a place of ruin. Altar, in the Hebrew, Mitzbaach. Avraham now practiced public worship, just as his father of faith, Shem, had. And this is what it says in Bereshit, Genesis 4:26. Shem called on the name of Adonai, and he declared his dependence on him. You think you're here by your own coattails? You're wrong. I know this. I've met people as I was growing up as a young boy that were praying for me, praying that I would come to know the Lord, not relatives. And that's why you and I need to do that. We need to be adopting young men and women, older men and older women, as our spiritual children and pray over them. Pray that the will of the Lord shall be revealed into their hearts, minds, and souls. Let's continue. In verse 13:10, and Lot looked up. Scripture reveals to us that the Lord does not look at things as man does. The Lord is not impressed by our outward appearance. He looks at our heart and our soul. Let's continue. That's from 1 Samuel 16:7. Lot only saw the well-watered valley. Adonai Yeshua saw the people of Sodom who were wicked and sinning against him greatly. Lot's failure to discern and to oppose evil brought death later to both his wife and also tragedy to his own family. Another one of Lot's failures was that he loved personal gain more than he hated Sodom's sin. Oh, Frank, don't do that now. I got to. As a preacher, I need to be transparent. There are times when I've watched shows on TV. There's times I've gone to movies. And I've enjoyed the sins of others. That was my entertainment. My goodness, you just said that before the congregation. That's truth. So the things that I saw as entertainment are sin in God's eyes. That's my carnal nature winning that day. And my spirit man, after we left the film or watched that TV program, was convicted. And I had to confess my sin before the Lord because I allowed violence. And I wasn't watching filth, but there are certain films that just proclaim violence because of violence. And I've been entertained by it. And some of these have been war movies, you know? And there's nothing wrong with war movies. But there's a point there when you got to hear what the Spirit of living God is saying to you. And if he says, stop doing that, don't do that anymore, I have a choice. My carnal nature can then say, well, shh, I'll repent on that later. Have you been there? Have you done that? I have. That's why preaching must be transparent. I am a sinner saved by God's amazing grace and that alone. And I wrestle every day with my carnal nature. And as my spirit man gains the victory, I'm then being transformed into the image and likeness of Messiah Yeshua. His image, his character. That's my heart's desire. That's what the Spirit of the living God wants to do in all of us. But we have to submit. Like I shared earlier, the only one that can destroy our carnal nature and put it to death is not your brother and sister Messiah. It is you. That's your responsibility. And if you're willing to deal with that responsibility, I say this to you. You can be seared. Your conscience can be seared with a hot iron, and you can turn your back on the Lord. Can God still save you? Yes. But do not play games. Because there's a point of no return, my brothers and sisters. That's what the scriptures say. Why would Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, warn us to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? And he said this, lest I be a castaway. Hear his confession. I am the chief of all sinners. Have you ever read the Brit Hadashah and seen how much he wrote? How much he gave to us? What would our lives be without the Apostle Paul walking underneath the anointing in the presence of the Lord?
That's right.
Just think about that. And how about our father Avraham here? He could have walked away and said, you know what? I don't want to serve you. You're the God of my father Shem and Enoch and Adam. He had the free will. He had a choice. And that's what the Lord is doing here. He's cultivating these choices between these two men. Because the Lord desired that Lot, because please understand this right now, Lot was going to be the one who inherited everything from Avraham. And you may say, well, Frank, I've read the book. That's right. But up to that point, in Avraham's mind, who was going to receive the inheritance? Who was going to be the patriarch of the family? If Avraham died, where was Sarah's provision? By the male child, the heir. Even though they had no children, family took care of family. What you've seen today with Marcia and others, you see family taking care of family. We're not blood relative with each other. We are this in the spirit. That's the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Rabbi. But I mean the blood of man. Thank you, Rabbi, on that. But it's not by a flesh relative. And I'll tell you this. The children, the sons and daughter of Avraham by the Spirit, the Gentiles are co-heirs in the kingdom. You're not less. You're not second-class citizen. That's a lie from the devil. And that lie has separated us. That's why there's replacement theology. Because of jealousy. There is no jealousy in the family of God. Because we are co-equals in Messiah Yeshua. Let's continue here. Turn with me now quickly to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Messianic Jews, if you have the complete Jewish Bible, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Page 1493 for the complete Jewish Bible. And no, I'm not getting endorsements or money from Rabbi David Stern. You have loved righteousness and you've hated wickedness. Continuing. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you with the joy and the preference of your companions. Who's speaking here? It is Abba Father, and he's speaking to whom? To his son, Yeshua. He's declaring to him that you hated wickedness, but you love righteousness. That is to be a litmus test for every believer. Do not walk in the sin that I've walked in. Do not allow the evil of the world to be your entertainment. Because then you open up the door for you to walk in that evil yourselves. You should hate sin and hate wickedness just as the Lord does. We're not to hate the sinner because that's where we were. Amen?
Amen.
But we're to love them and bring them and reveal Messiah Yeshua in our lives. That's what the Lord desires. Messiah Yeshua's faithfulness to the Father while on earth was demonstrated by his love of righteousness and hate of wickedness. It is the very basis for Abba, our God, anointing his son, Yeshua. Why did Yeshua come? To defeat our two greatest enemy. Is that our fellow brothers and sisters, Messiah? No. Is that Hasatan and the demons? No. What did he come to defeat? Our two greatest foes. They are sin and death. Yeshua died on that stake that we may be redeemed with his precious blood. As Rabbi said earlier, we are all covered by the blood of Yeshua. And he rose from the dead that we would have victory over death. And if we continue on the same path of a sinful life, it shall lead to death, which is ultimately separation from our loving Father. And he has given you and I that free will to make that choice every day. But know this, that he's also giving us the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to bring us into all truth. If you want to know what a movie or a book or something that you're looking at or where you are is not pure and holy, ask the Holy Spirit. He will reveal that to you and bring you into all truth. I found that a fact in my life. Because I'll tell you this, people who have been in the body of Messiah generations ago, the things that we do and the things that we practice today, they would be abhorred to. And I'm not pronouncing that we enter into legalism of the past, but I'm saying this to you. Be led by the Spirit of the living God, for he shall lead you into all truth, because one day he's going to present you before the Father as a holy bride. And know this, my fellow brides, and I know that's weird coming from a guy, but what does a bride do prior to their getting married? They prepare themselves. They prepare. They get off all the stuff. They bathe. They take care of all these issues so that they can present their virgin life to their bridegroom. And that's what the Lord desires in all these things. Continuing. In the same way, our anointing will come only after we identify with our Messiah Yeshua's attitude toward righteousness and evil. In Psalm 45:7, it says this. Our love of righteousness and hatred of evil. Excuse me, I skipped over that portion there. Let's turn quickly to Telaim, that is Psalms 45 and verse 7. Psalm 45 and verse 7. Page 834 in the Complete Jewish Bible. As you hear me preach and teach, you'll learn the process. Some are here called to preach and teach, as I do. You have that gift. The Lord wants to open up those opportunities here. But there's a process that we need to go through, as I'm going through. Psalm 45, verse 7. You have loved righteousness and you've hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. There's many times when we pray for anointing and we desire the anointing of the Lord, but have we dealt with the sin and the wickedness in our own lives? The Lord cannot anoint us until we have allowed the Ruach to search our hearts, minds, souls, and total beings and to reveal that there's these spots, these wrinkles, these sins. Otherwise, we cannot come before the body of Messiah. Otherwise, we come in our own strength. And there are men and women that I've seen many times come into and stand before people, and there's no anointing because they don't speak about sin. That's what the Lord wants us to be delivered from, is sin. Because then all the blessings come when we're not walking in sin and coveting sin. Sin we need to get rid of. Let's continue. Now Psalm 94:16. Who will champion my cause against the wicked? Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Psalm 97:10. You who love Adonai will hate evil. He keeps his faithful servants safe. He rescues them from the power of the wicked one. Proverbs 8:13. I'm just going to be sharing these with you quickly. The fear of Adonai is the hatred of evil. I hate pride and arrogance and the evil way and duplicitous speech. Amos 5:15. Hate evil and love good. Uphold justice at the gate. Maybe Adonai Elohe Zavaot, the God of armies, the God of hosts, will take pity on the survivors of Yosef. Romans 12:9. Don't let your love be by mere outward show. Recoil from what is evil and cling to what is good. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If someone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Because all things of this world, the desires of the old nature, the desires of the eyes, the pretensions of life are not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does God's will remains forever. Do you hate evil? Do you love righteousness? Revelation. And let's turn there. Revelation Chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the Messianic community in Ephesus write, here is a message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven gold menorahs. That is Yeshua. I know what you have been doing, and how hard you have worked, and how you have preserved, and how you can't stand wicked people. So you tested those who call them emissaries, that sent ones, apostles, but who are not. And you have found them to be liars. Wait a second, Frank. We're not supposed to judge our brothers and sisters in Messiah. Really? We're not to judge them personally. But the words they speak and the fruit they bear, we must judge. Let's continue. Where are you, Brother Frank? You'll catch up. You are persevering, and you have suffered for my sake, says Yeshua, without growing weary. But I have this against you. You have lost your first love. They were about what? Being a congregation, a messianic community. They were focused on all these other things. They did not tolerate liars who stood before them and proclaimed the word of the Lord, but it did not line up with the word of God. For they knew Torah. They knew the difference. They knew when a counterfeit word was shared before them, and they dealt with it publicly. They called those who were false emissaries and declared them, the word that they spoke, as lies. And that was their board and their rabbis that were protecting them. Amen? Because what is the duty of a rabbi? That is to spend time in the word. What is the work of the board, the elders, and the deacons? To deal with the administrative tasks, as Nikki said earlier, a gifting in the congregation. And the deacons, what did they do? They were out there helping the widows and orphans, making sure that there was enough food for them, and there was places for them to stay, and clothing for them. That's what the body of Messiah is, so that the rabbis, the apostolic overseers, may be into the word, dealing with the things of the word. As I've pastored many churches, I've never had access to a checkbook or a credit card in the congregation. That was my safeguard. I never saw the tithes and offerings come in. That was a safeguard to me so that I would be able to be above reproach, and any brother or sister in the Lord that had need of my ministry, I had no prejudgment of them. I did not look at what they drove and what they wore. They were all precious, equal in the eyes of the Lord. And I, as their shepherd, had to treat them as such. So that congregation gave me freedom to do what I'd been called to. And that is to build and equip the body of Messiah. To be a shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Because that's what Avraham is being called to in this calling in his life. To be our father in faith so that he be willing to lay down his life, his own passions, his own desires, his own schemes of becoming greatly wealthy, that he would establish what a man should be as the high priest of his household in serving God, the God of the Most High. And later on, as we proceed in this teaching and preaching, you'll learn of a high priest that came before him who had no mother or father. He had no beginning or end. And he was called the prince and also the priest of Shalom. Let's continue here. Therefore, remember where you were before you fell, before you lost your first love. And turn from this sin and do what you used to do before. He's calling them back. He's not removing their golden menorah immediately. He's reminding them and winging them back. Just like a husband goes out after he's had an argument with his wife and the Lord has rebuked him, and he goes and he woos his bride back. That's the sense of this word right now. Here Adonai Yeshua is speaking to the church in Ephesus and declaring this: I love you. I see your spots. I see your wrinkles. I see these infirmities. But I love you. Come back, my bride. Come back to me, my beloved. And I will straighten out those wrinkles. I'll wash away all these unclean things, and I'll give you brand new garments. Let's now enter into a relationship. The first love. All of us can remember this, the day that we met Yeshua and the love and the peace that he gave to us. Let's continue here. Otherwise, there's consequences. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your menorah from its place if you do not turn from your sin. And some of you may be saying, well, what is this menorah? That's the symbol of the Ruach, the oil, the manifestation, the Shekinah, the Shekinah, glory, the light of the world. Remember that testimony? When you light a lamp, you not put it underneath a bushel, but you put it on a stand that all those may see the light and be drawn to the light. All messianic communities are to be what? Lighthouses. That they may see the glory of God being manifested and be drawn to the light. They're drawing from what? From darkness into that great light. Let's continue. And I will come to you and remove your menorah from its place if you don't turn from your sin. But you have this in favor. You hate the things that the Nicolaitans do, and I hate it too. Those who have ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the messianic communities. To him winning the victory, I will give you the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in God's Gan Eden. That is the Garden of Eden, paradise. That's what awaits you, my brothers and sisters, if we'll deal with the sin in our lives and love holiness and righteousness. Let's continue. Our love of righteousness and hatred of evil will increase in two areas. First, by the growing of the heartfelt love and compassion for those whose lives are being destroyed by sin. The scripture says, going and snatching them as they're about to fall into those fires of destruction. Have you ever been to that place in your life as you become a mature believer? I have. Where you've lost your first love with the Lord and you have no passion for souls. Oh, let somebody else go out there and share the good news. Have you been there? I have. And the Lord has rebuked me. And he had to bring me back to my first love. And for me to realize this, Frank, if it wasn't for someone else loving you in that portion there and having compassion for you, though that you are a filthy sinner, if they did not have that compassion, you would not be here today. Let's continue. By a growing and heartfelt love and compassion for those whose lives are being destroyed by sin, we will continue to gain more and more oneness with Abba, our Father, our God, and His Son, Yeshua, our Messiah, who loved righteousness and hated wickedness. For God so loved the world, say it with me, that's right. That's why we're here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? That is why we're here. Otherwise, we'd all be in heaven right now. Right? So we're to be about our Father's business, building the kingdom and putting our carnal nature to death. Let's continue. If Lot would have loved righteousness first, it would have caused him to remain separate from wicked ways of sinful people. Instead, he chose to be politically correct. Wait a second. He just got into the year 2015. A miracle of God. Instead, he chose to be politically correct, and he promoted tolerance with evil. Hey, it's not that bad, and I'm going to make a killing. I got all these sheep and cattle. They need food. They got grass and water. Man, I'm going to outdo my uncle Avraham. Let's continue. His heart's desire was the material and cultural advantages. Enticing pleasures of Sodom outweighed the dangers. And that he was not strong enough spiritually, he believed, to remain faithful to Adonai, his God. See, that's the danger we have here, my brothers and sisters. We as parents, we raise our children in the admonition and the knowledge of knowing the presence of the living God. But there comes that day when they come to the place where they pray a prayer with us. Sometimes they're an infant, not an infant, but a toddler, and a little bit older, teenagers, or as an adult. But they haven't cultivated the presence and having the intimacy with Yeshua. How many of us as parents and grandparents can testify? We've seen that happen. For some, they catch it. They catch the vision. They see the presence of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord in our lives. And at first, they're attracted to that. But then later, once they get introduced to Yeshua and they allow him to speak to our hearts and our minds, their hearts, and they're brought in. And this is what Avraham wanted for his heir, Lot, to receive. Lot chose to expose his family to immorality and ungodliness of Sodom, only to learn the bitter lesson that his family was not strong enough to resist its evil influences. We spiritual parents and natural parents must be careful not to place ourselves or our spiritual or natural children in any Sodom environment. That means at home too. You got to control the TV, right? What they listen to. We have to control these things. And I tell you this, Paul, I know he's left, but there's a new, brand new adult Jewish baby that just came to know the Lord. They have to be there for him and give him instruction. Because you know what Satan wants to do? He wants him to be brought right back into the old camp again. Satan's going to pull out all stops, temptations, lies, deception. Because we need to be praying for that man as he goes through that transformation that we went through. Let's continue. So that they will not come to spiritual ruin as did the family of Lot. From on high in the spot between Bethel, the house of God, and Ai ruin, an area one can see to the east, the well-watered, irrigated greenness of the Jericho in the lower Jordan Valley. South of this is the Dead Sea, which now covers the sites of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's continue. Lot took a look in greed, inwardly envisioning the plains of the Jordan Valley, as including also the eastern slope of the Dead Sea to Zeor. At its southern tip, the wealth of Egypt had left its mark on Lot. He saw what all Avraham had gained. Lot ended his gradual move southward at Sodom, and there he gave up his shepherd's tent. See, he was to be occupied in the same occupation that Avraham had, and that was to be a shepherd, to be the patriarch, and leading the people in righteousness. Let's continue. He left the shepherd's tent for a house to make his home in the place of wickedness, sin, Sodom. He became later a gatekeeper of the very city that we get the word sodomy from. Amen? Let's move on. Lot chose a city of idols like Ur from where he came to make his home for the generations yet to be born in the city of sin, Sodom. He chose to follow after his fathers of idolatry. And he fled from his uncle Avraham and the place of his deliverance. With death of Avraham in the future, having no children, who was to become Avraham's heir, his nephew. But he rejected both his inheritance and the faith of Avraham and the presence of Adonai Yeshua. Because as Avraham would stand before the altar and worship Adonai Yeshua, Lot was exposed to the presence of the one true God. Lot rejected his Yeshua, his salvation. But as we get into these further chapters, we'll see that Avraham rose up and sought to deliver him, to bring him back. Let's continue. Adonai's promise to Avraham, exalted father. Adonai Yeshua said to Avraham, after Lot has moved away from him, then the Lord's voice comes to him and speak. Look at all around you from where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. All the land you see, I will give it to you, Avraham, and your descendants. This first portion is speaking to the Jewish people who live by faith. Continuing. Was Torah given at this time? No. Was Avraham circumcised on the eighth day? No. Going on. It says, Hebrew, Elzer Acha, and to your seed. What is that speaking of? The Messiah. The promised Messiah. Remember, Hava, Eve, our mother, was promised the Messiah would be born through her. Now it's being passed. It's now being given to Avraham. And I'll finish up here very soon. And Yeshua, I, Yeshua, will make Avraham's descendants as numerous as the specks of dust on the earth, so that if a person can count the specks of the dust of the earth, then your descendants will be counted. Who are the descendants of this latter part of the of this verse? These are different descendants. Let's continue. They were descendants by faith. The 70 Gentile nations who would come to faith through their father Avraham, exalted father. Let me ask you this question. How much dust is there in the earth? Can anyone name it? Number it? How about underneath the oceans? How about that is what is frozen in the ice on the mountains in the North and South Pole? That's the dust. Has the Jewish people ever grew to that number? No. So what descendants is he speaking of here? He's speaking of those who are grafted in. The spiritual Jews from the 70 nations. These are the descendants. Because does not the Brit Hadashah reveal that Avraham is the father of both the Jew and the Gentile who've come to faith in Messiah? Let's continue. The 70 nations who came to faith through their father Avraham, exalted father, before the Brit Milah, before circumcision, before Torah, by faith and faith alone. Let's continue. And then he says, get up and walk through the length and the breadth of the land, because I, Adonai Yeshua, will give it to you, Avraham, exalted father. So where did he go? He went to all the boundaries of the promised land. What does that include? Present day Israel? No. To the north. And then he goes east and hits what? The Euphrates River. And goes the whole length of the Euphrates River to the Gulf of Aqaba. And from there, majority of the Sinai Peninsula, all the way up to the wadis of Egypt. That, my brothers and sisters, is the promised land. And our father Abraham walked that route by faith. Every place that his foot trotted upon, he was claiming by faith for his inheritance and his heirs, both Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. And so during the millennial reign of Messiah, when he sets himself upon the Mount of Olives and goes through that golden gate and sets up his eternal kingdom in Jerusalem, then the borders will be acknowledged. And listen to this, my brothers and sisters. You may say, what is he going to do with all the Arabs? Every Arab is from whom? Abraham through Ishmael. It's by faith and faith alone. So now when you see of your Arab brothers, those of you who are of Jewish heritage, or those of you who have been grafted in, our spiritual Jews, we need to be praying that the veil would be removed from their eyes and that Satan would no longer have the victory, because God desires all the descendants by faith, both Jew and Gentile, the one new man, to be inhabiting the promised land. Praise be to his name. That's what the revelation of the Lord has said. It goes on here, and I'll finish on this. Abraham moved his tent, and he came by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there he built an altar to Adonai Yeshua. Another altar. Another presence. And you and I, where is your altar? You are the altar. You're the temple of the Most High God. And there's a golden menorah that burns within your soul. And the Lord is coming back, but he's saying to you, my brother and sister, ask the Ruach right now, have you lost your first love? Ask him that question, and he shall reveal you to truth. Because that's what the Lord wants to do here. He wants us to re-erect the altars in our lives and to put on that altar the sacrifice, not of lambs, not of bulls or goats, but our carnal nature. You and I are high priests of the Most High God, and that is what we're to put on that altar, so that we can be the holy temple, Hanukkah, the feast of dedication. That's every day. So that they may see that light in your lives, and they be drawn to the Father. To his name be all praise and glory and honor.